Water is politics. Politics you can take a shower in, you might say, especially in the arid Middle East. The Islamic State, or ISIS, is well aware of the water politics in Iraq and Syria, and they've been targeting Iraqi dams, flooding small villages to bolster their control of the region, evoking a military tradition as old as the medieval caliphate they say they want to establish in the region. Joining us is Michael Stevens, head of the Qatar Office of the Royal United Services Institute for Defense and Security Studies. Michael, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi.
Trying to control water and using it as a military weapon is a pretty old tactic in the Middle East, an old strategy in the Middle East. Is that what ISIS is doing here?
Absolutely, it is. I think the most well-documented episode of that was when Salahuddin stopped the Crusaders near Hattin from accessing water and was able to win a fairly quick victory. ISIS seemed to not have forgotten the lessons of the past. Indeed, they've actually remembered some of the things that were going on during the occupation of Iraq by US and coalition forces in 2003 onwards, have realized that if you can secure resources quickly, you suddenly become the arbiter not only of military power, but political power. And so that's what they've done. And what we've seen as a modus operandi really is ISIS, whenever they've moved into an area, have secured resources, be that hydrocarbons, water, flour, bread, and centralized it under their control. And they use it to punish people that they don't want either to exist in that area or that have not paid them taxes and support. And they reward those people that decide to follow them and decide to volunteer. It's clearly a pinpoint part of their strategy that water really is one of the most important factors.
So terror and these bizarre beheadings that herald the arrival of ISIS, while they get a lot of attention in the West, are not perhaps even the most effective tactic here. Some of these control of resources tactics are perhaps much more effective on the ground.
And what we noticed in June was that ISIS had begun shutting off water to Christian villages around Mosul, Bartella, Karakosh. And the moment that happened, particularly in areas where farming is quite an important part of the economy, these areas came under pressure almost immediately. And whilst you can behead people, you can punish people, you know, you're doing this one person at a time. Here you can isolate thousands of people almost overnight and then basically put them in a situation where they have to negotiate with you. And we've seen a number of different cities and towns under this pressure. And it's not just the Christians, it's also Kurdish farmers that have been affected as well. So ISIS have realized that by controlling water, you can really twist the arm around the back of anybody who you don't like and anybody who looks like they're not going to pay support to you or they're going to potentially be an enemy to you. The other thing, of course, is that it's a revenue gainer. And what ISIS have done is go to local farmers and say, listen, if you don't pay us money, we'll turn the water off. So it has the added advantage of bringing in money as well as instilling fear.
The other thing worth noting is, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, there's nothing about cutting off water supplies that is even remotely threatened by airstrikes, right?
No, not at the moment. Simply because what you can do is just simply isolate where the faucet is on the pipeline and shut it down that way. And you can turn it off at source. You can block the dams if you want to. Although ISIS actually, I think it's important to note that there was a lot of noise made about the fact that ISIS captured Mosul Dam, but they didn't actually do much with it. In fact, they basically maintained it, not as well as perhaps they could have done, but they weren't interested in shutting it down. But in terms of what airstrikes were able to target, sometimes this is an individual pipeline which goes out to one village, supplying hundreds of people. And how you target that with an airstrike depends on whether you can spot the faucet from, you know, a satellite or from an F-16 or something. So it's not as easy as it seems to tie in this kind of military operation to what ISIS is doing on the ground.
Well, in fact, the media, in talking about that Mosul Dam capture earlier this year, talked almost exclusively about ISIS blowing up the dam and flooding Baghdad. But what you're saying is something much more, much more sustainable, and that is holding the dam and basically selectively using it as a weapon to cut off water to Baghdad and every city in between Baghdad and the Mosul Dam. Is that your sense of the strategy here?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's important to note that the Islamic State is trying to act as a state. They have 8 million people under their control, and these people need to drink water. If they had blown up the dam, they would have destroyed Mosul, which is a city of 2 million people. It's where they basically established their caliphate. I think more than the towns in Syria, it was the taking of Mosul that was really symbolic for the power of the Islamic State. It doesn't make a lot of sense, therefore, to then destroy that by flooding it under, 10 feet of water. So I think that was some alarmism, actually. And if you look at what ISIS has been trying to do, they've been trying to get highly skilled workers to come and join them, engineers. They've been looking at trying to retain the services of those people that are involved in hydrocarbon infrastructure, farming, water utilities, and trying to pay them decent salaries so that they remain in their posts, just loyal to ISIS rather than the previous regime. Mm. So they have been quite structured about this. They're not as sort of nihilistic as people have made them out to be.
Well, and this nihilism is not only alarmism, but it also misses completely the point. I mean, in some ways, being the master of the water is an ancient power in the Middle East that way predates oil and plays directly into this notion of we are establishing a caliphate, and everyone in the Middle East understands that every time ISIS speaks.
Absolutely. And actually, I mean, in terms of the most basic tenet of establishing a caliphate, if your soldiers can't drink water, you're not going to get very far. And I think it's important for your listeners to understand that when the Iraqi army broke back in June, some of these frontline units, particularly further south in Anbar province, hadn't actually had supplies of water in 4 or 5 days, and they hadn't eaten either. Morale was low, supplies were low, and when ISIS came into town, they just dumped their weapons and ran. I mean, there was no reason for them to keep fighting. They had no resources to keep fighting. And ultimately, if you're going to run a slick military operation, you've got to have that control of water, particularly in a place where it gets to, well over 120 degrees in the middle of the day. And it's very, very dry and arid. And if you don't have that supplies, you really can't get very far. So it has always been a central point. If you want to expand your influence across that region, you've got to have the access to water. It is the probably most important aspect. And what I would add to this is that actually in Iraq, water is more expensive than oil per liter. So that might tell you something about how valued it is.
Michael Stevens is head of the Royal United Services Institute for Defense and Security Studies Office in Qatar. He spoke to us from London. Michael, thanks so much.
Thank you.